Hello and welcome to the Sounding Out the Word podcast, the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah, where our mission is to spread the gospel, disciple the nations, and help people find hope here at Anchor Baptist Church. My name is Tyler, and I'm joined today in studio with Pastor Jason Atwood, the pastor of Anchor Baptist Church. Today's topic is going to be pretty interesting. We're titled it Honoring God with Our Children. And Pastor, I've met your children. You have wonderful children.
Oh,
and
praise
I got to say that
they get from their mother.
You've definitely honored God with your children. But I think that this is a topic that, you know, we find today, like many other traditional Bible values, the topic of raising your children as the Bible prescribes has been under attack by society in many different ways. And the consequence of this is I think we've seen recent generations of children being raised without the Bible, without proper discipline, without the skills necessary to live an independent adult life and deal with the real world successes and failures.
It's an interesting topic, but it's a very serious topic because it's so desperately needed.
Yeah.
There are churches today in America that families are absent. Teaching and preaching on the home is all but absent and void. And because of that, we've allowed something else to influence our children and influence our families. And somebody is going to influence you. Somebody is going to influence your family. And either it's going to be the Bible and the Word of God and the people of God, or it's going to be the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yeah, and I find that oftentimes, especially nowadays, that comes straight through the form of, you know, sitting in front of the TV all day.
Sure.
Or being handed a tablet, and you know, while mom and dad, or just mom, or just dad, or whatever the situation is, goes off and doesn't pay attention.
And those were things that were warned of, you know, years and years ago when the television first came out. You know, don't let the TV babysit your kids. But we're well beyond that today. And when that is even said or hinted at from the pulpit, you know, the people look at the preacher like he's an old fuddy-dud and they're thinking, oh, we're living in the 21st century. What are you talking about? But the danger, man, is far real today because in the 50s, you know, they were being babysat by Andy Griffith. But today they're being babysat by the modern family.
And yeah, if you've seen any sort of modern children's programming nowadays on television, you're right. Like, there used to even be like a standard on television in terms of ethics and morals, probably mm-hmm. in the early 50s. Like, we watched a lot of like, what's that show? I Love Lucy.
Right.
Or no, anyway, it doesn't matter. But you could definitely tell the difference in the culture of TV shows back then. Nowadays, you have kids sitting in front of TV that's designed to be addicting for them, or, you know, really, and they're not getting good biblical values. And so we look at the concept of raising our children. It really is a gift from God. Children are themselves are a gift from God, and how we raise our children reflects how we honor the Lord. Mm-hmm. We can look at Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward.
You know, and with that understanding that children are an heritage of the Lord, that means they're a gift. And because they're a gift, that means stewardship is going to be required. So that means I'm going to give an account to how they are raised and what they turn out to be.
Yeah.
It's going to come back to me. I'm going to answer to God for that. And so I've got to be a wise steward of how I raise my children, and that to make sure that they are raised for the Lord, because they are an heritage. They're a gift of God. Psalm 127:4 speaks of the fact that their arrows are as arrows are in the hand of a mighty hunter, so are children of the youth. So, man, that speaks of direction. You point them in the right direction. That speaks of purpose in their life. They're to have a purpose. That also speaks of skill, that the person who is directing the arrow needs some skill. So child rearing is not haphazard. It's not just, you know, sit back and whatever happens, happens, and, you know, whatever influences come, and you're a product of your own environment. That's not biblical.
And yeah, so we look at that psalm again as, you know, as arrows in the hands of a mighty hunter. Well, what are arrows? Arrows are a way of attacking. Mm-hmm. And we want to not only train our children to be biblical and honor the Lord in their own personal lives, but we want them to be a message that we send out to the world to go forth. And they are the continuation of our legacy as God-honoring people. So we should also train them up for that purpose.
You know, the world twist this notion that we're talking about children being a gift, a blessing, a heritage, something that faithful stewardship is required in. The world twists that notion and turns kids, sadly, into an unfortunate burden, sadly, even an unhappy mistake. And really, we've gotten to the place today where life is cheap, and they look at a child's life as a disposable object instead of a life made in the image of God. And we're coming up on the month of January here. We usually don't like to date our podcast in that way, but we're coming up on the month of January, and we've got the dreadful decision in the Supreme Court of Roe versus Wade, the anniversary of that in January. And we see that's a landmark decision, but it's really a blight on the culture of America, in the history of America, in that we would legalize the murder of a gift of God, a murder of a life, a child that God has given.
Yeah, we can see the effect here of when we don't treat children as that gift. We do treat them as, or you know, the culture, the modern culture pushes this idea that they are disposable mm-hmm. objects. They dehumanize the child in the womb. They call it a zygote. They call it a fetus. They call it a clump of cells. And really, all you're doing is dehumanizing, making it more accessible for parents to kill their children, and that's just like the plain fact of what it is.
Sure, and it people don't like to say it in that way, but that's what it is. That's what the Bible calls it. So as we think about raising a child that God has given us, let me ask you: Do children come pre-programmed, or are they blank slates?
I'll tell you, children are blank slates that will absorb anything. Mm-hmm. And really going back to that idea of, you know, when you plop them in front of a TV or the world or whatever, they're absorbing all of that. And it's not hard to look, you know, 10 feet out in front of you and see the same sinful world that we're all dealing with, infecting your children, filling them with the sinful tendencies, having them seek after the sins of this world. And so if we're not diligent in raising our children on a biblical foundation, teaching them, disciplining them, teaching them how to control themselves in the midst of sin, then they will likely stray. And even if they become a saved Christian later on in life, if they're not disciplined and they're not obedient, then the tree kind of dies at that branch.
You know, discipline is a big thing. You know, I don't think our homes need to be a military boot camp. And there are sadly some that take it to that extent where they think that is what discipline looks like. But I've seen homes where it's ran like a military boot camp and there is no self-discipline. The husband does what he wants to, the wife does what she wants to, and the kids are wild and crazy. There ought to be discipline, and that simply is talking about self-control that ought to be taught to the child, how to control, and I like to call it their faculties, where they're not running around like wild Indians,
right?
Where they're not jumping all over the furniture and destroying something that mom and dad paid for, where they're not scribbling on the walls. Now they're going to do that, but you got to correct them and you got to train them and teach them that's wrong. That's not being a good steward of what God has given us. And so we live in a world today where children are allowed to be what the world calls free spirits and just do whatever they want to and don't guide them and don't direct them, don't train them. So what does the Bible tell us in Proverbs 22:6?
The Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
And you So I'm sorry to cut you off, but yeah. That means there's direction there.
Yeah, there's direction.
There's no free spirit.
Right, exactly. It's a guided it's a guided training. And what that does is that instills the way that this child should go. And when they learn that going off the beaten path, going off the way that they should go, will only lead them to negative things in their life. And when that's young, that, you know, that has to be a training aspect of the parent to instill discipline, sometimes corporal punishment, mm-hmm. sometimes whatever mechanism is necessary to make the child realize that when they go off the path, they will only find negativity. And then by tackling that early on in their life, they will find that they will have a tendency to stay on the right path, because as they go out and they start to experience the negativity of the adult world, they'll really quickly realize, like, oh, I need to get back on the right way.
And definitely, you mentioned corporal punishment. That's definitely a hot button issue today. I recently spoke with a dad, not part of our church, but spoke with a dad who asked me and really was inquisitive about how corporal punishment works. And he was my age, and I asked him. I said, "So were you not spanked? Did you not get whippings as a young child?" And he said, "I did, but I don't know how to implement it. How does that work today?" And granted, when you think that you're going to try to decide to start exercising corporal punishment when the child is 5, 10, 8 years old, good luck with that. Mm-hmm. Corporal punishment begins when the child exerts his own or her own will against what they know to do is right or acceptable behavior. And usually, generally, I might shock some people with this, but this is about probably 6 months old when the child needs to be getting little swats here and there. Again, the punishment is appropriate for the age of the child, for the size of the child. We're not talking about abuse, but we're talking about discipline to teach them there's a boundary, and when you cross that boundary, there's going to be some effects that aren't pleasant.
Well, and I want to also address the fact, because I think the reason why this is such a hot button issue amongst people is because Satan is really good at taking instances of evil people, mm-hmm. right? We're not talking about abusing your child. We're not talking about using any sort of excessive force. I think you hit it right on the nail there with, you know, appropriate punishment for the crime, for the right. age, for the accountability. And unfortunately, because there have been people in the past who have done terrible things, albeit this is not the majority of people. This is a very small subset of people, but because they've done such tragic things, Satan has been able to take those emotion invoking instances and use that to fight against biblical discipline. But it's very clear in the Bible, Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." If you are not chastening your child to correct them on the right road, you're not setting them up for success in their future, and you're really not showing them biblical love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Bible is clear, like you said, in that chastening comes with not a word, not a corner with their nose in it. It's a rod. It's the rod of discipline. Proverbs 29:17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." And I tell you, as my children and as my wife and I, our children grow older, there is delight for the mother and father with children that are raised with discipline and raised with correction. They're pleasant to be around, mm-hmm. instead of a pain to be around.
And they will give you rest. Think about this. It might be work to discipline them as they're growing up, but think about all the calls from the police that you won't get finding your child has done something worthy of needing bail out of
Absolutely.
Jail.
Absolutely. I've dealt with parents and grandparents, sadly, who have broken hearts, not over 6 month or 1 year old kids, but over 30 year old kids, 40, mm-hmm. 50 year old kids. And they literally continue to break their heart. And it many times, I'm not saying all the time, but many times it goes back to there was no discipline and there was no training in the home, and the child was left to himself. And what does the Bible say that happens when a child is left to himself? He bringeth his mother to shame. And mm-hmm. sadly, that's happened many, many times over and over.
Yeah, and it will continue to happen in families that do not turn back to the Bible for how to raise your children. And so I want to look at this really briefly. I think parenting gives us a good picture of God's relationship with us, the relationship that we have with our children, all of the love, yet all of the discipline, the stewardship, represents how God, in some ways, works with us. And so we can look at some of the passages here where we are shown God's relationship in that way. So Proverbs 3:12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." And so we can see that God wants to show us that same relationship where he can teach us. In one sense, we are children of God. He will never mm-hmm. let us go. He loves us. But at the same time, he wants us to be his people, holy and set apart from the world, so he will chasten us as such. Likewise, we will love our children, our biological children, but it is our responsibility to put them on the right path.
Yeah, and we're showing our children a picture of the Lord, of God, through how we discipline them. And And we ought to want to show them an accurate picture of what God is going to and how God expects us to live as his children. You know, there's a phrase coined, I don't know who coined it, I've heard it many times, but tough love. Mm. And that's that aspect of loving, yet I love you enough not to allow you to act like you're acting.
Right.
And that's what God does for us. Hebrews 12:7 says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So because God loves us and because we belong to him, he is going to chasten us. He is going to discipline and deal with our behavior that is sin.
So, Pastor, why don't you give the listeners some of the practical application in how to discipline your child according to the Bible?
Yeah, there's been many, many books written on child rearing, but obviously the best book is the Bible.
Amen.
And you can learn a lot of things from different people. But I'd say you've got to be consistent. And I see so many, and there's a temptation in all of us to get lazy in our child rearing and child training and discipline, where, you know, we're on point with it a lot, we're ultra alert to it, and then we get lax with it and we don't do anything because, frankly, we don't want to get off the couch and discipline them, especially when they're toddlers. You know, we don't want to get up and train them not to do this or to do that or to start doing this or to have a good attitude here or there. So consistency is huge. It's vital. It's probably the most important aspect in everything of training our children for the Lord.
Well, and I think if you're not consistent, what it ends up being is a game for the child of how close can they get before mom or dad gets set off.
And oh yeah, they're gamblers.
Yeah,
they're going to test you, and if you say you're going to spank them for this, you better back up your word. But I would say just before you throw those words around, examine if what you are saying is going to be a corporal punishment offense. Really needs to be a corporal punishment offense. Don't just throw that around frivolously and say you're going to do it and not follow up with it. Another thing is offer praise when they're behaving well. I think many times we lack that. You know, I read somewhere that children need three pats on the back for being well-trained, two up high when they do well and one down low when they don't do so well. And I think sometimes we lack the two higher ones, the pats on the back, teaching them and helping them realize that yes, we love them very much and they're doing well. This is why we love them. This is why we're praising them. And so sometimes we're not as strong in that as we should be.
Right. And this goes, again, back to that idea, I think, of God's relationship with us being pictured by our relationship with our children. When we do right by God, when we're obedient, we will find blessing in our life. God will find ways to reward that, just as when we are disobedient, we will be punished. So, yeah, I think offering praise is big, but of course, don't praise when they aren't behaving well. Make sure that you are, again, going back to that idea, be consistent with your discipline, but also be consistent when letting them know that they're doing right.
I would also say a vital, important part of this is teach them to honor the Lord and serve Him. Mm-hmm. Because you can teach and train a child to be morally good, but if there is no foundation for those morals, it's not going to last long, depending on the situation they're in or the crowd they're around. Teach them where that comes from. And so you do that by directing them to the Lord and serve the Lord with them.
Yeah.
Teach them that serving the Lord can be fun, it can be exciting, and by teaching them to serve the Lord, you also show them, sadly, the example of lives that aren't what they should be, and so they see both sides of it. They mm-hmm. see the aspect of a life that loves the Lord and serves Him, and they see the heartache of the one who doesn't serve the Lord and love Him. So you're definitely keeping them aware of aware of the sins of the world, by exposing them to serving the Lord, and they see, you know, the lives that are desperate without God in their life.
Yeah, and serving the Lord in all aspects, whether we're in the home, whether you're out doing ministry, or even just during service. You know, when we have Aiden in adult church with us, it's exciting to see him want to stand up and grab a hymn book, and yeah. He doesn't know how to read, but he's out there. He'll shout amen during a prayer, and it's wonderful. And I'm very thankful to God that, you know, he saved me right at the time when we had young children, that now I have this opportunity to give them, you know, something that I missed out on life.
That's wonderful.
Was a biblical foundation.
So. You're raising your children now like I was raised. You know, I was raised in church, and like Aiden, grew up grabbing the songbook, didn't know them. But as a result, I know all the songs now by heart, and I don't even need a songbook most of the time unless it's a new one. But it's exciting to see your kids grow, and then they start singing on the way home.
It is. Yeah.
They start singing at home, and there's definitely a joy to serving the Lord, and that all goes together. You know, raising our children for the Lord and raising our children right is not just the corporal punishment aspect of it. Sometimes that's what is focused on all the time, but it's a whole package all together of serving the Lord with them, teaching them discipline, consistency, all those things that God would have us do as he lays out really clearly in his word. You've been listening to Sounding Out the Word podcast, and I am Pastor Jason Atwood, pastor of Anchor Baptist Church, and I'm with
Tyler Thomas.
And we're glad to be with you today. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. Have a wonderful day.